his series Portraits of a Changing China, NPR's Beijing correspondent Rob Gifford has been illustrating the massive transformation underway in China through the lives of five people. Today he focuses on an American. Joan Hinton went to China in 1948 to take part in the Communist Revolution and never left. During the past half century, she has experienced every twist and turn of the world's most populous nation. At age 80, she now runs a dairy farm outside Beijing. Rob Gifford reports she's still committed to the revolution.
It's milking time at the Xiaowanzhuang dairy farm just outside Beijing. Among the cattle, an elderly woman shuffles in, looking very much at home among the cows.
Here's where the cows come in. When one cow is finished, then it's let out and another cow comes in.
Joan Hinton is at home on her farm, where she's lived since 1983, just as she's at home in China. Every morning, she's busy overseeing the milking, checking machinery, or sharing a joke with her Chinese colleagues. But it doesn't take too much to get her to pause, step back with a slight smile on her wrinkled face, and reminisce a little about her years in China with her husband, Sid.
Well, actually, Sid was the one who was the dairyman, and when I came to China, we first worked in an iron factory, but then we went up to North Shanxi, and since 1949, we've always been in the dairy. Mostly, Sid did the breeding up of the cows, and I did the designing of the dairy, so we're quite a combination.
Sid, she says, has sadly been in the hospital for the last couple of months, but she is still seeing to everything that needs to be done on the farm. Joan Hinton's life was not destined to be spent so many thousands of miles from home working on a dairy farm. She was born in Chicago in 1921 and studied at Bennington College in Vermont, where she showed an aptitude for physics. She was just starting graduate school at the University of Wisconsin in 1944 when some close friends at Cornell, aware of her knowledge of nuclear physics, asked if she would join their team. They had just been summoned to Los Alamos to develop the atomic bomb. She moved immediately to start work on the Manhattan Project under Robert Oppenheimer and Enrico Fermi, and she stood in the New Mexico desert on July 16, 1945, when the first atomic bomb was tested. She says Enrico Fermi predicted she would one day win the Nobel Prize for Physics, as several of her colleagues from Los Alamos went on to do. But sitting back in her modest cottage a few hundred yards from the dairy, Hinton says when the war finished and Winston Churchill gave his famous speech in Fulton, Missouri about an iron curtain descending, something changed in her mind.
Well, I was going to do physics with my life. I was in nuclear physics. I was in a pretty good position because I had worked with Fermi in Los Alamos. And then the Fulton, Missouri speech changed everything in the U.S. It started becoming secret again, and everything started to get secret in physics. I said, I'm not going to do any more with this physics. This is enough. I don't want to spend my life figuring out how to kill people. I want to figure out how to let people have a better life, not a worse life.
Her brother, a conscientious objector during World War II, had traveled to China and met Chairman Mao. He persuaded Joan and her new husband Sid to come to China, which they did in 1948. The Chinese communists soon defeated Chiang Kai-shek's Kuomintang party, and Joan and her husband decided to stay on. Despite accusations that she was selling American nuclear secrets to the Chinese, Hinton says she never worked on China's nuclear program. She says she moved to China to get away from the atomic bomb. She preferred to concentrate on helping the Chinese mechanize their agriculture. She says the equality and dynamism of 50s and 60s China was exhilarating.
I think the Maoist years were terrific. There was a struggle all the time, and that struggle was a tremendous struggle through all those years. That's why it was so fascinating. Under Mao, of course, China started very, very poor, so that they had to build up from their ruined economy and everything under the Kuomintang rule. So they started very poor, but the thing was that they all, by working together, they built China very fast.
Hinton idolized Chairman Mao and greatly lamented his passing in 1976, though she says all the people weeping and wailing at his funeral annoyed her. Mao wanted us to fight, she says, not to cry. She feels that China has gone downhill ever since and is angry that the Communist Party has betrayed its roots by starting economic reform.
Now they still call them communists, and what kind are they? They're not actually communists, of course. Now, they still have that name, but they've completely changed. So now it's completely capitalist. There's not a smell of communism in that anymore.
Many Westerners and many Chinese now believe that Maoism was a disastrous experiment, and that when Mao died, it was with huge relief that the people of China welcomed economic reform. But that's not the whole picture. Like those Russians who still come out on the streets of Moscow with pictures of Lenin and Stalin, across China today there are many who say, yes, there were bad things done in those days, but at least there was free health care, there was free education. There was little or no corruption. A different world from today's dog-eat-dog society, they say, where nothing is free anymore and corruption is rife. Joan Hinton has no time for the yuppies who now parade their cell phones and new cars, while factory workers who she says built modern China are being laid off and set adrift. Her housekeeper, Lao Li, arrives in the kitchen and starts to prepare some lunch, stir-frying some vegetables. Several of Lao Li's relatives who took part in the revolution have been laid off, with very little way to support themselves.
In Mao's time, people didn't think about themselves. They thought about the country and working for other people. If young people today follow John Hinton's example a bit more, China would be a much better place.
Joan smiles at the compliment, but then sighs and admits that perhaps the revolution really has failed.
The bourgeoisie came back, and as I say it, this time around it's failed, but it'll come out another time. I mean, it failed. Of course it's failed, because the people in school don't even know it happened. They don't even study it. They don't even study these 30 years. They just know that you have to go after money, so they go after money. That's how it is.
After lunch, she gets up and heads back to the dairy. Looking at the 80-year-old woman shuffling back across the yard to check up on her beloved cows, the question comes almost automatically. Was it all worthwhile?
Well, of course it's been worthwhile. I think it's extraordinary. I've taken part in two of the greatest things of the 20th century, the development of the atom bomb and the Chinese Revolution. Who could ask for anything more than that?
Joan Hinton, nuclear physicist, dairy farmer, and unrepentant communist, says she'll never move back to the United States, even though two of her children who grew up in China have now moved there. She says she finds the U.S. a rather lonely society, and that she hopes to live out her days here in China, continuing to struggle for and with the Chinese people. Rob Gifford, NPR News, Beijing.